Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on the greatness of the hope. The greatness of the hope. In Acts chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "And when they," and they here is Paul and Barnabas, "when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith," continue in believing, "and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." And that "must through much tribulation" is basically saying, like, everyone will face many afflictions, tough times. So Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. They taught people the word. They took care of them. That's what it means to confirm the souls of the disciples. It means to take care of them. Take care of their souls. And to encourage them in believing. But they also made it very clear to them that everyone's going to face many afflictions. That bad stuff will happen. So they taught them the word. They took care of them. They encouraged their believing, but they reminded them that with all of that doesn't mean life is hunky-dory and perfect, right? That bad stuff is going to happen. And tribulation is pressure. It's troubles. It's sufferings. It's bad stuff, to put it simply. And Romans 12:12 tells us that we can be patient in tribulation. God wouldn't tell us that we can be patient in tribulation if there wasn't going to be any tribulation, right? So it shouldn't be an expectation that we're going to face a trouble-free life, but God says that we can be patient in that tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 3:4 says that we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So another verse where it says, Paul's telling people, hey, we told you it was going to happen, and you know it happens, because you deal with it. So God, knowing this about life, knowing that things in life get tough because there's an adversary, has given us a marvelous tool to help, and that is the hope. So go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And this is referring to what? When Jesus Christ comes back, right? Like in the announcements tonight, Jesus Christ is coming back. This is what it's talking about. So we'll be caught up together. Whether we are alive or we have already passed away, we'll be caught up together with Christ and forever be with him. Verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So the hope refers to Christ's return and all that comes with it. All that comes with it. We often read this section of verse like in the context of a loved one passing away, right? It's often read when somebody falls asleep. The hope is a comfort, but it's not just limited to funerals, right? The hope is a comfort for us facing tribulations today. It's a motivator for us. It's a motivator for those who like get fatigued when it comes to standing on God's word, right? Sometimes that gets tough. Holding forth the word, doing what God's word says all the time, because oftentimes it's easier not to. But the hope is that motivator. The hope is what helps us face those tribulations in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, as it says. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So it's not just something to comfort each other when a loved one passes away, but it's a comforter in our tribulation that we face today. So when bad stuff happens, the hope is what can help us see it through and weather that storm. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, or rebirthed us, unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've been rebirthed to a living or lively hope, to an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for who? For you. For you. Our hope is a lively one. That's an energizing one. It's an energizing one. It's got an inheritance reserved for us that's not going to spoil or decay. That's part of what the hope is. It's part of what the hope is. We have an inheritance reserved for us, and it should be a lively and an energizing one to us today. What else? What else does a hope have? Titus 1:1. Titus 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of what? Eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So part of our hope is eternal life. Eternal life.
Yes.
So our hope is an inheritance that will not spoil. It's an energizing one, and it's a hope of eternal life. And it says here that it's our promise, and it's one that God can't lie about. It's one that God says he cannot lie about it, which is really interesting, because we're going to see in Hebrews 6, verse 17, something similar. Hebrews 6, 17. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly, wanting more desperately to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's a lot of fancy words, but what it's saying is God really, really, really wanted to show to the people, to the heirs who are going to be inheriting this promise, the great truth of it, the fact that it couldn't be wrong, and he confirmed it with an oath. So here we have two things. We have a promise, and then we have God confirming that promise with an oath or a vow, right? And that's sort of the next level. Like, to promise something is to say, I'm going to do something, right? Today we think of a promise like, swearing it, but a promise is saying, I'm going to do something for you. And then God then took that and said, I'll make an oath behind it. I'll make a vow behind it. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, which refers to the promise and then on top of it, the vow from the previous verse, that by those two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So just like we saw in Titus, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, which is basically saying hope reaches behind the curtain into the holy place, right? Because this is written, as you know, to Hebrews, to Jewish people who believed in Jesus Christ. So for them, that holy place, you know, that was something they were well aware of. And he's saying that hope reaches behind that curtain and lets them get to God himself, because that's what happens. When Jesus Christ comes back, we go up there. Eternal life, living with God. In verse 20, it says, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Okay, again, very old Englishy text, but it means where the person who went before us is entered, even Jesus. Right? Jesus Christ went there ahead of us. Right? When he was raised from the dead, he ascended up to heaven to be at the right hand of God. So Jesus Christ went there before us, but that's where we're going. That's where we're going. And that's what God promised and made a vow behind. And as it said in verse 18, it's impossible for him to lie about it. It's impossible for him to lie about it. There are two places in God's word, only two, where it expressly says that God cannot lie about a specific thing. It says in many places that God is not a man that he should lie, or that his word is truth, or he speaks the truth. These are the only two places where it says God cannot lie about a specific subject. And that subject is the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back and we get eternal life with God. That's how important it was to God. Chapter 7, verse 19. So the hope represents us being eternally with the Father. And chapter 7, verse 19, it says, for the law made nothing perfect. The law didn't make anything perfect. The law was tough. But the bringing in of a better hope did. What made things perfect was the ushering in of a hope by the which we draw nigh or near unto God. The law made nothing perfect, but what Jesus Christ accomplished did. And it ushered in a hope of the day that we literally draw near to God, to be up there with him. The hope is not a future event. It's the present attitude today we practice because of a knowledge of a future event, right? Jesus Christ is coming back is the future event, but the hope is what we have today regarding that event, right? It should be a present attitude that we live today, right? If all we ever say is, if our attitude is only, I can't wait to get out of this rotten place, then we're shortchanging ourselves, right? Because we have with us today, right now, an energizing hope, something that keeps us going, right? Romans 8 says that we're more than conquerors, and that's right now. That's right now. And God gave us that hope so that we could live that lifestyle. The hope is a fundamental truth to living that lifestyle. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. So it's not just, oh, I can't wait to get out of here, but it's, man, this is what I have to look forward to. And that keeps me moving, that keeps me going, that lifts me up when stuff is bad today. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Charity, or the love of God, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's the future event, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, right? Which means like we look into a mirror that's all kind of dirty and foggy. So we don't really see it clearly. But then, when that which is perfect is come, see it face to face, super clear. Now I know in part. Today I only know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. So in this section here, it talks about the love of God. Like this area of 1 Corinthians speaks of the love of God. But in this particular section, not only does it talk about the love of God, but it talks about Christ's return. And it talks about the hope. It says in verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. So God, in this section, lumps in with believing, with love, the hope. The hope. And it says that it abides. It's an enduring principle. It's an enduring fundamental principle to our walk as Christians. To love, to believe, and to have that hope to energize us and to keep us going. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, God gave us this tool. He gave us the hope because he knew that life would be tough. And here he is putting it in with the love and the believing. You know, two things that we put a lot of emphasis on when it comes to holding, practicing the word and putting it on in our lives. But the hope is right there with it. The hope is right there with it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So the hope comforts. It establishes our efforts. Every good word and work that we do, it establishes. It's so critical that we put that on in our lives. That hope can help us establish what we're trying to do. Because God knows that it's a lot of work sometimes. And God knows we can get burnt out. But the hope is there to energize us and to keep us going. Because we can stop and think like, man, this might stink right now, but Jesus Christ comes back. I get eternal life. I get pulled up into the clouds with him, forever to be with the Lord. Like that's what we can think about instead. 1 John 3, verse 1. So how can the hope do all that? How can the hope do all that for us? Well, 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. The way Christ is now is how we will be when he returns. That hope knocks out all the junk. That's what it is to purify something, right? Is to get rid of all the junk in something. Then it's pure. Once the junk is knocked out, then we're motivated to keep moving on the word, right? Because then all the junk is knocked out. Then we're back to being motivated to move on God's word and to do that stuff. So if we face troubles, or we get burnt out, or we get discouraged, the hope is there to knock that stuff out, to purify us, even as he is pure. So when the junk is gone, we can keep moving. That's how it works. Titus 2, verse 11. Two more verses to go here. Titus 2, verse 11. So that's what God has given us in order to face down this stuff. He knows. He knows who we are. He knows what life is like. But he was so kind to give us that hope. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay? So we should get rid of the bad stuff, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly today, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man what? Despise thee. The hope is key to our godly walk today, right now. And if anyone tries to steal it from you, we rebuke it. We rebuke that person. Verse 15 says, these things, the stuff about the hope, we speak, we exhort, we encourage each other with, and we rebuke anybody who's trying to take it away. With all authority. We take it seriously. Right? Let no man despise thee. You know, don't let anybody mess with it. Don't let anybody mess with it. Because it's our key to a godly walk today. Finally, 1 Peter 3, verse 10. So that's the greatness of the hope. It does comfort us when we're sad. It does comfort us when we've lost somebody. But it's so much bigger. It comforts us when we're facing all kinds of stuff. It energizes us when we're feeling a little burnt out or a little sluggish. You know, it helps establish our words and our works. It does all these great things. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life. Do you want to be somebody who loves life? Yeah, man. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or get rid of evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it or find it. You know, let him look for peace and then he'll find it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And that sums it all up. You will face trouble, but you can live a life that you love to live by walking with God and doing his word. And the hope is there to help you do that. That's what it's for. And when other people see you walking happy and blessed and thrilled, that very happy and loving life kind of way, they're going to ask you about it too, because they want to know what you got. And you can tell them all about that hope that you have too. That's why you can live that life that you're so happy and so blessed about. God says, be ready to tell everybody about it. Be ready to share it with people. So that's what I wanted to share.